Support for this podcast and the following message come from American Express. Small businesses are what keep our community together, which is why it's so important to help them succeed. American Express has created a new platform that all small business owners can use to keep their dream alive. StandForSmall.com. They brought together 100 plus companies to provide offers and resources to help small business owners get back to doing what they do best. Following a dream, serving a community, and employing America. StandForSmall.com/podcast. Powered by American Express.
Welcome to The John Roa Show, a production of iHeartRadio and Roa Media Works. This is Leading from Home, a special limited series where I'll be checking in with leaders and entrepreneurs from across the country on how they're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. It's Monday, April 6th, 26 days since the pandemic began. Businesses in the U.S. are facing an existential crisis. Massive layoffs have led to over 10 million unemployment claims, bringing the effective national unemployment rate up around 10%. Experts say it could then double, ending up near Great Depression level rates. Companies big and small rapidly failed under the weight of the pandemic, from the local corner market up to the biggest airlines in the country. Ostensibly, almost every single business in the country was brought to its knees by a single virus. Once the dust settles, this will become one of the great case studies in the history of business. One that questions the foundations of America. One that questions capitalism itself. We should ask whether everything should be for profit, including the emergency medical response to the pandemic itself. We should ask whether the 180 global CEOs from the biggest companies in the world that signed a letter last year stating that the profits at all cost mindset has to change if we want a healthy economy, planet, and people. And are they right? And is that a canary in the coal mine for what's happening right now? We should examine the role of small business, which makes up almost half of our GDP, and whether the heroes that are small business owners should be the ones that get hit hardest and fastest during a crisis. Today, you'll hear from Diana Monteleone, the owner of Meraki Room, a high-end salon in Chicago that she and her partners opened only 3 years ago. Before the pandemic, her business was thriving, profitable, and ready to expand to bigger space again for the second time in their short history. Then, everything changed. And like so many small business owners, she was suddenly facing impossible decisions with long-term consequences. 2.5 weeks ago, before this podcast was even out, Diana called me to ask advice. She was scared and anxious, as I would have been. The pandemic had just set in, and she was rapidly trying to navigate what this means for her and her business. Next, you'll hear that actual conversation, and then we'll play a message that Diana sent over the weekend to tell us about what's transpired since. What is going on in your world?
Okay, so where do I start? Monday, we made the decision, me and my two business partners, we got together and made the decision that we needed to close our business because in order to comply with CDC restrictions and rules of social distancing, being a hairdresser, you can't really do that.
For sure.
So since Monday, me and my two partners have just like been fighting and coming to conclusions of, you know, closing our business indefinitely, which it's crazy. And we employed 13 people total. So we had to, you know, contact all of our staff and say, hey, based off of what is like safe at this point, interacting with this many people on a day-to-day basis in these close quarters is not safe. So like, you can't come to work anymore, which we're super lucky that they've been like really compliant and graceful and loving about it. And we have literally the best team. And they were all really like happy too, because it's not safe. Like, we're touching clients all day long.
And how are you figuring this all out? Like, in real time, because this is not something we've ever dealt with before. And I can imagine when I'm running my company 6 years ago, if this was a new situation, I'd be like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing? And why? And how on earth am I supposed to know as an entrepreneur and as a business owner what to do right now?
I had to like do research of like, what's going on in Italy? What's happening like in China? What's going on? how fast is this thing spreading? Like, no one was really talking about it. And our government wasn't saying, like, get ready for this.
And the government certainly wasn't speaking to you as an entrepreneur, right? I mean, to be making the decisions that you're making, when to close, how to handle your employees, how to process unemployment, how to furlough people, a term that you told me a minute ago you hadn't even heard before, which I think is hilarious. So how do you learn those things? And from a business owner perspective, how have you figured out what to do with this?
So it's literally been like my client or friends of mine that own businesses that are calling me and saying like, hey, how are you doing? Like, you know, I know you guys posted that you're closing. Like, how is it going? Like, how's that look for you? And like, I mean, we have a business consultant and she just said, you know, just make sure you're taking extra measures. And then we haven't talked to her since the last time. And then she reached out just asking how we were doing, but she hasn't told us anything. But I have a business owner friend who called me and told me what a furlough was. If I still don't freaking know, I Googled it and I spelled it wrong. And then I found out I spelled it like F-U-R-L-O-W and that's not how you spell it. And so I'm learning this like brand new language. But again, like being a hairdresser, I talk to people for a living and a lot of my clients are entrepreneurs themselves and that are a lot more successful than me. And they're reaching out. I had another client reach out that her and her husband are donating like $1,000 towards our salon because we volunteer with their company. And I don't know, there's just like the weirdest stuff that's happening right now. And I'm just trying to like figure out. And so, yeah, we have a great accountant. And so she's been helpful, but I mean, it's literally just been, we've been on the phone nonstop. I think the other day it was like over 10 hours of screen time I had on my phone, which is A, embarrassing, but like, be like, it is what it is. So I'm on my phone 24/7 talking to like everyone that I can't, because I'm trying to save my business. Like, I want to make sure that all my girls don't go move back home with their parents because we're in this like economic fallout till question mark a time. So yeah, just that's it.
What is the hardest part? Is it the uncertainty of what's coming next? Is it that we don't know if this is going to last 30 days or, you know, 30 months? Is it the cash flow perspective that you're simply saying that I have X amount of money I have to spend to be a business. And if that goes away, there's no, you know, rainy day fund. Is it trying to manage the employees and keeping them, you know, sustained and healthy? So when you are able to come back to work, they can be back at work. Like, what is the hardest part of all of this, if that's even quantifiable?
The hardest part is like, I mean, definitely the unknown stuff, dealing with business partners that don't know either. And they're sitting there saying, you know, just wait till the government tells us. And I literally at one point was like, fuck the government. They're not going to tell us like how to stay healthy. They don't know what the hell's going on. And they're not taking any action. I don't give a shit what fucking Trump says today, tomorrow, or the next day. We need to shut this business down because we have to protect the health and safety of our team. Mm-hmm. So I think that like, that's been like my number one is like the health and safety of our team. And then making sure that these girls know like, guys, this is serious. Like, I feel very, very responsible for them. I mean, I'm not their mom, but like, I am kind of in a sense, you know, like I take a strong responsibility. I think as a community leader, as, you know, a small business owner and as like the leader of my team, like I want to make sure that, you know, they're well informed, whether it's scary or not. And they understand like just the severity of the situation. And I want them to know that like, I'm going to do every single like last thing that I can to make sure that however long that this thing lasts, that we're pooling all resources. No matter how humiliating of a season it is for me personally or my business partners, like we're doing every last thing. Like I want to collect unemployment myself as the owner because I don't want to exhaust every cent that I have in my bank account in case it gets to the point that I need to start Venmoing my team out of my own savings. So I guess that's like the hard part because like right now it's like everyone's in the same boat. So like our business is a loser right now. Like we're all losers. Like not like it's like who's the coolest person. It's like no, literally everyone is a freaking loser. Like
right.
So. Whatever. Now it's just like, do we survive through this time or not? And so I want to just do everything I can to just make it through. And so that they don't have to go home. They don't have to like give up on their like career life and like their dream that moving, you know, from Ohio to Chicago and working in a really fun, cool salon. And they don't just like scrap that because we didn't do our due diligence.
For sure. There's a lot of people impacted even with a small business. In terms of, I'm just kind of thinking ahead, because obviously you are a small business in Chicago. There's thousands of such, and there's now millions around the world just like yours. How do people help? I mean, it's amazing that a client's like, here's $1,000, like I support you, et cetera. But at a macro level, like how should people be thinking about supporting small businesses like yours during a time when you're not open for business?
We didn't have like a lot of capability at first to like have people support us. And as soon as we made an announcement that we were shutting down, which we did that Monday night or at some point, we made the announcement and we were getting, and we went into the salon too. Like it was like Monday in the like late afternoon, we went into the salon and started making calls, got rescheduling or just canceling. We just canceled appointments and said, we don't know when, we're not even going to try to reschedule because we don't know when. So we put them on a callback list. Then it was like, everyone kept being like, how can I support? How can I, you know, give to your team? Can I like pay for my service for the future or whatever? And we were just like, gosh, I don't even know. This is like a weird situation. So
right.
A client of ours actually made us a GoFundMe account. She reached out and said, hey, like, is it okay if I make you guys a GoFundMe account? And we were like, GoFundMe account? That's so weird. And like, we had to come together as business partners to tuck our pride aside, where it was like, if this isn't about us at this point, like this GoFundMe is like for our staff because we have 24-year-old girls that live paycheck, and they don't have savings accounts. So anyways, yeah, we have the GoFundMe account. We're having people, you know, reaching out to us to give money. I know our biggest investor for the salon, we're like so close to being fully paid off, but they donated their next month like loan payback to be able to disperse to the team to help like offset like living costs and stuff. So literally we just figured out, we like went online really quick, and one of my partner's husband is a web developer. So he made a pop-up on our website that was like a way to be able to buy gift cards online. So we have that. We've got the, we're accepting anything that anyone wants to give us. Because when we, like I said, I've got paycheck kids. And then we like today had a big meeting and everybody applied for unemployment. So
wow.
Our furlough thing, our new thing.
That's great. You made an interesting comment about putting your pride aside, which is often, you know, a crippling factor for entrepreneurs, right? Because we invariably are prideful. We are not horribly to a fault, but at the end of the day, we are very prideful of what we do. And we take our business very seriously and it becomes very personal. So how hard was that to do? And how hard is it to reconcile that you might survive on the donations and goodwill from somebody else for a for-profit company?
It's weird. I mean, I had a full blown meltdown and like I'm tearing up talking about it again because 5 months ago or so I was looking at a space like double the size of our salon right now because we're like growing out of our space. Yay, it's so cool. And like now it's like I was talking to my dad the other day and he's like, yeah, there's no hoping or dreaming right now. It's all about survival. And it's just like, ew, that's not me. Like I don't do well in that city, this setting. Like not like, oh yeah, survival mode. Who wants to give me something? Like, fuck that. Like, I've had a job since I was 15. Like, so now, right. Yeah, to tuck my pride aside. And it's not about, like, at this point, it's like, it's less about me and it's more about, like, the team now. And that's, like, I think that's what's driving me to be able to tuck my pride aside. Because it's just, like, I just want to make sure that they're okay. And, but yeah, super weird.
In some months from now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, depending on when this thing kind of, you know, phases itself out and we all do get back to work, because the world will correct, we'll get back to work, you will survive. How's that going to affect you? How's that going to feel? How will you continue going on your business maybe differently based on all this stuff?
Like, that's the thing is, like, you know, I've been doing a lot of research and reading a lot of like different articles of like what this could look like in the future. And, you know, that's like another big question mark, because it's like, if people are saying that this could go on and on for, you know, several more months even, and it could be like, you know, that we're clear to be out and about, and then we might have to do another like month of social distancing and then be clear and then have a month off and clear. So, you know, we were talking about that today of like when we do reopen, what is to be expected. And it's like the whole like landscape of our business from this point forward could look completely different. And we, like, what I've been talking about with my partners is like, guys, we have to be creative. And we were talking about, you know, like, what if clients are asking for house calls? What does that look like? What if, you know, people, because there's going to be people that, you know, still want services done. And, you know, what if like some of our staff is comfortable doing that? Like, how do we support them in it? So it's just the landscape of everything is completely different. And like, do I need to wear a hazmat suit when I go back to work? Because this might still be floating around. Like, shit, I will wear a hazmat suit. And like, hopefully some like cool masks will be available back like in that point.
Well, a friend earlier today made this amazing comment to me that there's no one better suited than entrepreneurs to solve this problem, because you and we are, you know, the innovators, the creatives. And if anybody will survive this, it is folks like yourself. So thank you.
Thanks.
That conversation was from 2.5 weeks ago, just as the pandemic was setting in. Now, you'll hear an update from Diana from just a couple days ago on what's transpired since.
Hey, John. So much has changed since we spoke last. I feel like the last couple of weeks has been 6 months. Apparently, owning a non-functioning business during a pandemic is a lot of work. So I'm super glad that I have two business partners to be able to do it with. I know that last time we spoke, I didn't even know how to spell the word furlough. And now I feel like I'm a furlough pro, and we have gotten with our team. Everyone has applied, been accepted, and is collecting unemployment, which is a really big sigh of relief for us because that's been our number one, is just to make sure that the team is safe. And then as far as loans, I mean, we've spoke to our consultant, our accountant, our insurance provider. We've done webinars and have sent emails back and forth. A ton of clients and friends have reached out to us, sending us different links. So we have applied to a few different things, including the PPP CARES Act. We're just trying to make sure that we're doing whatever is best for our type of business. And then we've computed what our burn rate is. So basically how much that we have in the bank, how long that's going to be able to last us, and have contacted all of our accounts as far as, you know, payroll or delivery with like towels, different things like that. Just making sure that everyone that we work with, that we're paying out, knows that we're just on a freeze, so that way we're just keeping every penny in the bank that we can right now to be able to last us as long as we can. And I think we're pretty safe for a while. So again, you know, another sigh of relief. We've connected with all of our vendors. So all the lines that we carry in the salon, slowly we are putting together all the details and then creating hyperlinks and codes and different things like that, so that all of our clients can still continue to purchase products. But what they're able to do is purchase it online and get it shipped directly from our vendors. But then there's a revenue share for us. So it's really great that we have these like professional capabilities to still be able to provide for our clients and still be able to make a little bit of money in this time without having to risk being close to people, and we can still keep our social distancing. We also have an amazing social media team that they've been diligently working hard to stay relevant. So they've been updating stories of what we're up to, creating polls, adding how-to videos on our Instagram feed, which is just keeping us in the forefront of everyone's mind. And I think that that's really important, is just making sure our clients know we're not going anywhere. So that's been great. And then it's also helped us to raise money through the GoFundMe page to help support our team during this time. And we've sold thousands of dollars in gift cards. And I just feel like with all of that, it's just helping us to be able to sustain through this time. So I feel very confident that we're going to be okay. But my biggest takeaway is just, you know, just to be a chameleon. It's like every day is something different. And there are some days that I am so exhausted from this full-time job of having a business that's not even open. But every single day we have to learn more and figure out what's best. And I feel like I'm a boxer in a ring, and I think it's like probably my 21st round. And I'm like, some days I feel super beat up and I'm exhausted, but we're going to win. Like we're going to do it. And I'm not going out. We're not going out. You know, we're bending and we're like moving to whatever is like being thrown at us. And yeah, we're going to be okay. I'm excited. It's been a weird challenge, and I'm grateful for what I've learned. So thank you, John, for caring about me and the team and our business, and good luck for the rest of the podcast.
A big thanks to Diana Monteleone for being on the show. Her perseverance and leadership through adversity is what being an entrepreneur is all about. I have an ask for everyone who's listening. If you have friends or family that are small business owners, reach out and offer your support or kind words. No matter if they're showing it, and we tend to hide it, every one of them is going through tough times, and knowing they have support from people who care about them could make all the difference in the world. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. 100% of the profits from this limited series will be donated to charities that are helping people through the pandemic. If you're currently leading from home, or if you're an entrepreneur that wants some advice or to talk through something, I want to hear from you. Head over to roa.com/podcast. That's roa.com/podcast for ways to connect with me. Or hit me on social media at John Roa. That's J-O-H-N-R-O-A. The John Roa Show is a production of iHeartRadio and Roa Media Works. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite shows. A special thanks to our producers, Jordan Gaspore here at the show, and Tyler Klang over at iHeartMedia. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. In the meantime, be safe out there.
Thirteen Days of Halloween. A remote hotel, the most unusual guests, a tour guide that can't be trusted. And the newest arrival is you.
Why are you here again?
They sound like someone you trust.
I know you can hear me.
Starring Keegan-Michael Key as the caretaker.
Please make yourself at home. After all, this is it.
One story each night, starting October 19th and ending on Halloween. From iHeartRadio and Blumhouse Television, listen to Aaron Mankey's 13 Days of Halloween on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.